Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got in trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
Oh, come on. I mean,
No. Actually, you know what? This is apropos to say based on this movie, don't come on me. No, we're not doing that.
let me tell you something. Maze, I'm glad you sent that spreadsheet earlier because I looked through it and it allowed me to have a walk down memory lane of some of the things that you've selected. And you've picked some shitty movies, man. But then you went and got fucking Showgirls and totally redeem yourself. Oh, my God. This movie.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, you're so back, man. I don't want to tip my hand, but, man, let me tell you something. This is the type of bad movie I can get behind. Absolutely.
This is one of the most offensive movies I've ever watched.
Oh, man. You know what's funny? Is I remember when this movie came out. I was in high school. And I remember it was a big to-do because it was the first NC-17 movie to come out.
It was a huge deal.
In a long time. And everyone was like, it's so controversial. And it's got Elizabeth Berkley in it. And, you know, she's known as like this child star from the Saved by the Bell. And she makes this movie. And it's about like exotic dancers in Las Vegas. And like, where's the line between pornography and art? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't see it. But I was like, oh, this movie, man. Like, they really put themselves out there. They took some risks. Yeah. And I watched it last week and I was just like, you motherfuckers, like, you first, it didn't need to be NC-17. They could have made
it. Didn't?
Like, it really didn't. I don't know.
I'm with Paul Verhoeven. You don't make this movie if it's not NC-17.
I don't know how it was, like, necessary to the story, though.
What story? What story? What are you talking about?
You didn't recognize All About Eve, Zach?
What are you talking about? What? I do absolutely want to do this episode. I'm willing to go back and redo the Hot Rod episode and give it a favorable score and be very, you know, loving about it and say it's so funny and all, if it makes Maze stop with the revenge tour. That's what I'm willing to do. Because I gotta say, this fucking movie, I mean, it's offensive.
I was thoroughly entertained. Thoroughly.
By what?
By everything. By everything. Cinematically, I was entertained so thoroughly by all of it.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
I was absolutely offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Welcome to Cinephobe, whatever. This is the podcast. We break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love unless you're fucking a mean old ass. And I'm Zach Harper. Anthony Mays produces the show this week on Cinephobe. The 1995 sexual coming-of-age story, Showgirls. Showgirls starring Elizabeth Berkley, who at the time was fresh off her cinema debut in Molly and Gina, in which she's seventh billed, I believe. And of course, the Saved by the Bell Wedding in Las Vegas TV movie. She was a year away from appearing in The First Wives Club and White Wolves 2, Legends of the Wild.
Not loving your tone right now. Like, no. You just dismissed Elizabeth Berkley's career. Like,
Saved by the Bell might be the biggest part of my childhood. Like, I loved that show. I went to Saved by the Max, a pop-up restaurant in West Hollywood, and was, like, doing all the trivia and stuff. Like, I was all about Saved by the Bell. I love Jesse Spano. I love, you know, I'm so excited, caffeine pills, all that shit. This ruined her. And justifiably so. She should be ruined after this.
She got in The First Wives Club after that. That was a pretty good movie.
Also starring Kyle MacLachlan, who you may know from the original Twin Peaks. And he'd just been in the Flintstones movie.
Oh, yes, that's right. He plays a bad guy in that movie too, right?
Yeah, I think he's the main bad guy, right?
Yeah. He's the one that him and Halle Berry are like hooking up.
Right.
The Flintstones, yeah.
And then also, I mean, one of my favorites, Gina Gershon, who I thought for a long time.
Wow.
She was coming off of Best of the Best 3, No Turning Back, and was about to star in another sexual thriller, Bound. If you remember Bound. You may also recognize Glenn Plummer. He was in Menace to Society. He's the Jaguar owner in Speed when they speed up to the bus and Keanu jumps on there.
Glenn Plummer, the black guy? Is he James?
Yeah.
So I recognized him as the dude, the frat brother in the episode of Fresh Prince where Will and Carlton.
Oh, yeah.
Pledge. He's the frat brother that says that Carlton isn't black enough.
Right.
And
great
Will
call.
Gets mad and says, well, come on, let's go. And Carlton were dancing ever so ridiculously. And they're going having fun. Yeah.
Not only was he in Speed. He's also in Speed 2, Cruise Control. He made the second one.
He's the only one? Is he the only one?
He and Sandy Bullock.
Oh, Sandy, yeah.
Yeah. Also, you might remember Robert Davi, who you'd recognize as one of the FBI agents in Die Hard.
Oh.
He's got the scarred face.
Yeah, he's got the scarred face. Al Torres. He plays the strip club guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
He's also in the Goonies and Predator 2.
Yes, he's one of the brothers. He's Joey Pantoliano's brother in the Goonies. Yeah, yep. I knew it. I looked at, you know what's funny? Here's a weird thing. I looked at him and I said, is that Josh Brolin? But then I'm like, no, like in 1994, that's too old to be Josh Brolin. Right. But I'm like, it kind of looks like him. Fuck, I was doing a subconscious connection between him and because he was also in the Goonies.
Right.
Still trips me out, by the way, that Josh Brolin is the older brother in the Goonies. Didn't know that.
That is weird.
The assistant to the producer of the...
Yes, Patrick Bristow.
I don't know his name. All I know is he's the dude in Curb Your Enthusiasm that Larry calls a cunt when they're playing poker.
Yep.
I looked at him like, oh, it's the dude. And then before he says something, it's like, I wonder if he's going to play a gay character. And then he opens his mouth like, I'm glad he's playing a gay character.
Turns out it was a different gay character in Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was the choreographer when Larry was in the producers.
You and David are so good together. I'm so happy.
Love him.
Oh, God.
Love that guy.
Your chemistry together is fierce.
It is fierce.
Absolutely fierce. Totally.
It's fierce.
Oh, so much better than Ben, don't you think?
Ben was so bossy.
Yeah, you know, he had that kind of entitled attitude. I don't care for it at all.
Totally. I know.
The movie is written by Joe Esterhaz, who wrote Flashdance, Basic Instinct, Nowhere to Run, which is one of my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, Sliver, Basic Instinct 2, and Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
My man has a type, don't he?
He does. So does Paul Verhoeven, the director, who's infamous for directing RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Starship Troopers, and Hollow Man. Hollow Man is also – there's a lot of problematic in this guy. A lot of
Hollow Man, future cinephobe entry?
Oh, my God. I've seen that movie a lot.
That's a good 10-year run, though, from 87 to 97.
Dude, for real? Like, hold on. Yeah. Like, name those again?
RoboCop, Total Recall.
Blockbuster.
Basic Instinct.
Blockbuster.
Starship Troopers.
Blockbuster.
Hollow Man.
Starship Troopers is underrated.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was a really good movie. Yeah.
It's not cinephobe material. It's too high, but it's a good movie.
It was legitimately good. It was legitimately really well received.
You know what's not? Starship Troopers 2.
Oh. And
both of them. So the synopsis for Showgirls. Nomi, a young drifter, arrives in Las Vegas to become a dancer and soon sets about clawing and pushing her way to become the top of the Vegas Showgirls. Tagline, the girls are back in town. But, I mean, that's not all. You know what I love about this movie's IMDb page? There are a lot of
taglines. What's that? A lot of taglines.
There is sex, seduction, and betrayal. Leave your inhibitions at the door. Beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your wildest fantasies.
I remember that one.
The show is about to begin.
Don't remember that one.
Sensual, controversial, available. The most controversial movie of the year is here.
Yes.
And the side of Vegas you were never meant to see.
The most controversial movie of the year is here does not sound like a tagline.
It doesn't, but they have it in
like
there.
You can't, it seems like very self-aware breaking the fourth wall, right?
Right.
Side of Vegas you don't see.
Side of Vegas you were never meant to see.
Okay, so let me say this. Let me stop there because one of the interesting things about this movie, Zach, you and I go to Vegas a lot because of work, right? For NBA Summer League. But, you know, Vegas underwent a massive transformation, I want to say in the early 2000s, right?
I would even say late 90s, but late 90s, early 2000s. But
basically right after this movie is when Vegas changed. And there was a stretch of time in Vegas where they tried to make it very family friendly.
Yeah.
And then they kind of gave up on that and they went back to like, let's just, you know, pool parties and bitches and shit like that, right? Like, so it's kind of back to the same spirit. But Vegas, like from the 70s to like right around Showgirls, like I always understood it to be like a real seedy place.
Yeah.
So the tagline kind of confuses me. Like, are they trying to say that like,
like it's even worse than we've been portrayed.
Yeah. Because this is pre-family friendly Vegas. So what are they talking about when they say that you were never meant to see, right?
Right. Because this is also like around the time when Leaving Las Vegas came out. Nick Cage won Academy Award Best Actor.
And Casino.
Casino. And the whole thing about Leaving Las Vegas is Nick Cage goes to Vegas. His character goes to Vegas to drink himself to death and just be gluttonous until he dies. $45 million budget.
What they spend that on?
That's titties. A great question.
Not Elizabeth Berkley.
Not Elizabeth Berkley at all. We'll get to that in a bit. So $45 million budget, grossed $20.3 million in the theaters.
Don't worry though.
But it made it back.
International?
No. VHS.
Wow.
It said 100 mil.
Wow. 100
mil VHS though. Yeah.
But I can see that though. Like it's the type of movie that no one would admit to wanting to go see, but then you buy it and you'd like.
It basically seems like people were using it as porn, which is strange.
100%. Every like teenage boy was using it as porn.
Every teenage boy.
Every single one of them.
One of the great things that I read that is Paul Verhoeven said that it's a lot of nudity, but it's not sexual.
I could not disagree more. I could not disagree more. So I'll say this before we jump into the movie and before you listen to the rest of this podcast, two things. One, Showgirls is on Stars, so you can stream it on Stars. That's how we watched it. Two, I feel like this disclaimer it's both serious and necessary. There is a sexual assault rape scene. So if that is going to trigger you in any way, it's towards the end of the podcast. I would just warn you with that. Not that we're going to obviously play it or anything, but we do have to talk about it at some point.
This is a hard NC-17.
It's a hard NC-17.
By the way,
and that's where I think it earned its NC-17.
And this is why I have co-hosts. Because the angle I'm taking on that scene is completely.
Well, let's go to the Rotten Tomatoes score before we get even more uncomfortable. Showgirls receives a 22% from critics on 54 reviews. And 37% from the audience on over 56,000 ratings. You want the positive or the negative reviews?
Give me the positives, man.
I think these are positive. I mean, they're listed as positive. Anthony Lane of The New Yorker Berkeley's acting debut is a joy, if you can call it acting. She jumps up and down a lot to indicate excitement.
She does. That's true. That's very,
a positive review.
That is a very accurate depiction. All right, what else we got?
Richard Corliss of Time Magazine. Showgirls is one of those delirious, hilarious botches that could be taught in film schools as a how not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a positive review.
Yeah.
Stanley Kaufman of the New Republic. Berkeley is good. Besides her dancing sizzle, she does what she can with the mechanically viperous character she was given to play.
Okay, that's not an accurate that dude jerked off. That dude clearly jerked off. You're in the right. What else you got?
Guillermo Martinez Olla of Cinematismo.
Okay.
About dreams. The American dream. The ephemeral, the permanent, Las Vegas, everything is possible. Everything. Welcome to the show.
That guy's just not from this country.
It was translated from Spanish.
Yeah, like, but I like it. Like, I it's definitely a movie I could see someone.
I do wish.
Who's not from here, like confusing it with art. Like,
right, that dude and thinking, oh, this is the American dream. I would also. Yeah, I do think there is a very I like that there's a slam poetry aspect to this review. I think that's how most of these reviews should go, is just slam poetry. And then our last positive review, Chris Alexander of Alexander on Film. What Verhoeven and Esterhaz are doing here is painting a sperm and blood-stained black velvet painting of a festering sore of a world, an empty black hole that sucks in delusional, naive men and women, turning them into meat puppet mulch.
Yeah. Accurate.
All right. So the negative reviews. Gene Siskel of Chicago Tribune. Is it sexy? Not when you're laughing. Jason Bailey of Flavor Wire. The thin, terrible people of Showgirls are equally loathsome. You don't have a rooting interest in Nami or her dream. Mm-hmm. And as a result, Showgirls is 131 minutes of watching trashy, vapid people being terrible to each other.
Okay, I can get behind that. Yeah. That's not wrong. Yeah.
Jay Boyar of the Orlando Sentinel. One thing I'll say for Showgirls, it's educational, but sadly, it isn't much else. Not sure how educational that would be.
I'm not sure it in school, no.
Philip Martin of Arkansas Democratic Gazette. A bad film, borderline inept, with an anti-erotic toxic charge about it. It deserved all the mean things people said about it.
Nice.
Rob Gonzalez of efilmcritic.com. Even the grossest porn is more cheerfully sexual than this movie.
What is the grossest porn from 1994?
Oh my God. It's got to be German. John J. Puccio of Movie Metropolis. Despite its rampant sexual material, it is not a sexy film. Dang, this thing couldn't get anything right. That makes me think he could not.
Yeah, these guys just couldn't perform.
Kenneth Turan of the Los Angeles Times, a film of thunderous oafishness that gives adult subject matter the kind of bad name it does not need or deserve. But he's a porn critic.
Oh, is he?
I bet. Why not?
Oh,
sound like he wanted to jerk it.
Yeah, no, it's like you guys give porn a bad name. All right, let's get it. Unless you got one.
I got two more quick ones.
Okay.
Alex Sandel of Juicy Cerebellum. I'm in the so bad it's bad camp on this one. The nudity is nice.
Yes.
And then maybe the goat, Roger Ebert of Chicago Sun-Times. A waste of a perfectly good NC-17 rating.
That's kind of what I felt. I felt like if you're going to go NC-17, do something truly bold.
Like balls?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying just something more than what they did. What they did, it could have been communicated fairly effectively enough. Just pull it back a little and you would have got your rated R.
Right.
Unless NC-17 was part of...
Well, here's the deal, Amin. So they had just made Basic Instinct and they had battled a lot with the MPAA to get that down to an R. And Verhoeven was really fed up with that. And so he insisted that this was NC-17 so he wouldn't have to deal with the MPAA again.
Wow. He is a hornball.
But it's just like, I like how, like, I'm just too lazy to fucking.
He's like, you know what? If I want to show a bunch of vaginas, I'm going to show a bunch of vaginas. I'm not getting it down to an R.
Wasn't even that many vaginas.
Yeah, a couple. So real quick, before we jump in, Maze, why? Why did you do this to us?
So this is one of the most well-known flops out there. I remember my dad being obsessed with how ridiculously terrible it was back in the day.
I bet he was. He was so obsessed with how ridiculously terrible it was. He went and saw it three times.
I mean, as a gay man, he's not looking at the same things that you and I are. I mean, and I know I watched it a long time ago, but I don't remember. I don't really remember it as the way that it turned out this time.
I flat out don't remember the last 30 minutes of this movie. And I saw it. I saw it in the 90s. I did not remember the last 30 minutes of this movie. That was all new to me.
You saw it in the 90s, Dad?
Yeah. I saw it when it came out on VHS.
How?
One of my friends got it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you like it back then?
I liked Elizabeth Berkley. I liked Gina Gershon. I liked tits. Like, that's what I liked about it. So I remember thinking, like, wow, this is so cool. Like, that's what I mean, I was, you know, a teenager.
So let me ask this, because this is a real question. If this movie were made today, what rating do you think it would get?
Jesus, they would never make it. They would never make it.
Yeah, I don't know that you could make this movie today.
Really?
No. I mean, the closest thing we had was The Deuce, I mean.
Maybe before the Me Too movement. Maybe. Even then.
But I don't think it's anti-Me Too, though, is it?
I don't know that it is, but I think the assumptions on how this movie gets made stop that from happening.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Like the motivations behind the people making it.
Right, movie, right, exactly.
Very, very anti-Me Too. But I think the movie itself is one of empowerment. And,
is it?
Yeah.
What?
That's a take.
Well, let's get into it.
All right. We start off. I don't even know how you say her name. Naomi Malone.
Naomi like Naomi.
Is 342 miles outside of Las Vegas with a suitcase and a leather jacket hitchhiking her way to Sin City. A blue truck dramatically pulls over. And I can only describe this driver as if Billy Ray Cyrus was a Halloween costume, but not as a joke.
This is how Central Casting, the casting director, casts his part. They basically put out an ad in the paper asking for biggest creep. We need guys. Yeah. Do you just look like a creep? You don't even open your mouth. You don't have to say anything. You just, the moment we lay eyes on you, we know you're a fucking creep. They knocked it out the park because this dude is.
Oof. It's bad. He's going to Vegas too. It's her lucky day.
Yep.
He says she can sit closer. She pulls out a switchblade.
I said, what the fuck?
Yeah. I forgot. What's your first note?
My first note was creepiest hitchhiker pickup ever.
There you go. Yeah, he really slams on the brakes and pulls over hard. Right.
Yeah, so that, and then when she pulls out the knife, he has this whole very erratic drive. Like, he's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to drop you off. And, like, veers violently off to the side of the road.
Cuts off a truck.
A truck. And I'm just like, you're trying to prove a point, buddy. This is much. Like, even if, like, at that point, she should have got out.
No one's going to stop her from her dream. I mean, so he, you know, relents on making a move. She stabs the radio station with the knife.
You can sit a little bit closer if you want. It was a bad idea.
Chill, okay?
I'm chill. Sure, I'm glad you're gonna be such good company.
Jesus,
I don't like Garth Brooks.
Me neither.
She delivers these lines like it's her first attempt at a table read. Like, it was like the first time she'd ever read those lines.
But also, like, she just had a shitty day.
Right.
And sat down to the table read. Like everything is like very delivered very, I don't want to be here. Right.
She won't answer his questions about her name and all this stuff. We find out her name is Italian, and he asks if she's one of those mafia girls. She says she's going to Vegas to dance. I looked it up. 342 miles away from Las Vegas is Provo, Utah.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the Rockies because
yeah,
you see the mountains.
No, there's mountains.
There's snow on the ground. Yeah.
So my question at first was, is she from Provo? We find out she's not. There's a big sign in the background as they pull into a parking lot that says, huge strawberry shortcake for $1.50. And I wrote, it's a simpler time back then.
Oh, those were the days. And by the way, the way he pulled into the parking spot, I said, why does he drive like an asshole?
Right.
Because it's like a regular parking lot. And he like literally swerves into this spot at top speed. And I'm just, I don't understand why anyone would drive like that at that point.
He says his uncle will get her a job at the Riviera. That's where they go. I wrote, his hair is fucking insane. He looks like Butthead from Beavis and Butthead.
He does.
He's got the guy liner going on. He gives her $10 and says, play the slots. I'm gonna go talk to my uncle.
She wins a decent amount of coins. She grabs a handful of the coins and starts like tossing them in the air. And I wondered, has anyone ever reacted this way to winning like $27?
And even if you did, maybe we win more. Like, who trusts? Why would you do that? Why?
Right.
You need every. You're broke.
Right. You're broke. Yeah. And then I wrote the note. That's 18 huge strawberry shortcakes.
I wrote, old Vegas is so weird. And then I asked the question: has anyone ever won at slots? Either of you ever won at slots?
No.
Yeah, I played slots like twice, and both times it's like you lose. There's your money, and I'm just like, why do old people keep playing this thing?
Because what if you hit?
But it's like I feel like you gotta hit at some point to give me some sort of feeling of
think.
Hope.
You would one think, yeah,
one would think.
Now she's lost all of her money. And a guy says she can make that money back and it won't take more than 15 minutes. She walks away and he yells, sooner or later, you're going to have to sell it.
Yeah, that was kind of awkward. But why'd she lose the money again?
She's playing slots.
It was just like a time lapse.
Yeah.
Oh, she kept playing. Oh, that's right.
So she wins and then she loses and it's like Vegas, you know?
Because some of my notes are not – they don't have – very good, like, annotation. It's just my emotion at that moment. All right.
She realizes that Jeff, that's the guy who picked her up, has taken off with her luggage. She runs to the parking lot. She starts beating on someone's car. That woman who owns the car comes out, stops her. She randomly throws up, which I didn't understand.
This scene was amazing. She's banging on the car. The black woman runs up. She swings on her. She just turns and immediately throws hands. Then she throws up, steps in the street, and then she hugs this woman and puts her puke mouth on the other girl's face.
Right. The woman like pulls her back out of traffic. She was about to get hit by a car.
Yes. She literally runs out into Las Vegas Boulevard ready to end it all right there because he lost her suitcase, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
In my notes, I put, wait, what's going on with the fighting and throwing up, followed by, are they about to make out?
Right. They embrace. I wrote, they embrace for literally no reason. And we find out Molly is the name of this girl, and she buys her food. She asks where she's from. She says back east. She asks where back east. She throws her fries in the air and says, different places.
Overreact much was my note.
I wrote, Nomi is unstable, guys. Molly offers her a place to crash, to which Nomi responds, are you hitting on me? And she says no, and then asks, are you a hooker?
Yep, that's definitely the sort of question you have to ask. Of
you would, 100%.
Fast forward.
Six weeks later.
Six weeks later, she's doing her nails, and I wrote the note, she has Stugatz fingers.
Oh, like she has sausage fingers?
Yes. When she's like, she said, let me see your nails, and do a close-up of her hand. I was like, that can't be her hand.
No, because she's like a tall, slender woman. She can't have sausage fingers. There's no
way. Well, they were very sausagey in that shot right there.
So they live in a trailer. Nomi goes to visit Molly at her work. She does costuming.
Wardrobe, yeah.
For the stripper show.
But it's not a stripper show.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a showgirl show. Dancer,
it's a burlesque show, yes.
And then I wrote the note, we just heard the word snatch like 5 times in 30 seconds.
Wow, they seem fond of the word snatch is what I put in my notes.
It's so, real. It's so noticeable and aggressive.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's cool. That's cool that we both picked up on it.
Look at us connecting.
This backstage area was super intense and hectic. It actually kind of reminded me of like the locker room in Starship Troopers.
Oh, that's a good call.
Wow. What if your boy, like when he made Starship Troopers, was like, I want it to look like the backstage at Showgirls.
I bet that's what it was. He seems to only have one speed, so I'm sure that it's just, all right, we'll change the venue, but it's going to be the same scene, guys.
So she's wearing this dress. Like, she's just backstage hanging out with Molly.
Yeah.
She's watching and all this stuff. And as she's walking up the stairs and someone in a dress, I put the note. Is she thick?
Oh.
Does she got a little cake going on back there?
Yeah, maybe.
And I tell you, it made me change my whole view about Elizabeth Berkley. I was like,
wow. That's all it took, huh?
Maybe I misjudged you. That's what I was thinking.
Misjudged you. Jesus Christ.
From her outfit in this scene, like, she's about to do a lot more.
But that's the moment where I gave her a second look right there.
All right.
The star of the show is Crystal Connors, played by Gina Gershon. She looks great. All the awesome women are being undressed on stage. It's like a volcano type setting. Nomi's in the crowd mimicking the dance moves, just standing in front of paying customers.
Yes.
Learning how it goes. I wrote, she might start masturbating while she watches as she stands in front of people. She plays by her own rules.
I used to have the biggest crush on Gina Gershon, man.
Still do.
Oh, she was just something else.
Still is.
This show is fucking nuts, by the way.
It is, man. It's crazy. And yet, not the craziest show they do in this.
No.
In this whole thing.
Yeah, the one with the motorcycles.
Motorcycles, yeah.
We'll get to it in a second.
We get to, after the show, Crystal, for some reason, being interviewed by something called Inside Las Vegas. It's like an after party celebrating what seems to be her first show, but we later find out she's been doing this for 8 years.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. One of the reporters asks, what about Broadway? And she ignores it. There's an old man presenting and congratulating her. Some reporter asks,
the casino, right?
Yeah. Some reporter asks, Miss Connors, how old are you?
Yeah, like that.
That was weird. So good. And then we're introduced to Kyle MacLachlan's character, Zach Carey. He's the entertainment director of the Stardust Hotel.
Those bangs, baby.
The owner of this, yes, very 1994.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like there's an episode of American Dad where Stan has reason to believe that Haley may not be his daughter. So they have to travel, but she has a kidney failure. So they have to travel back in time to get the dude's kidney, who ultimately may be the father. And it was a one night stand that Francine had the day before they got married. But it's a dude at the bar. And he says, he walks up to Francine. He's got the same hairstyle as your boy, Zach. And he says, like, hold on, let me wipe off the seat for you. And he wipes his own face. And he goes, ah! Funny. Like, hold on, let me wipe off that seat for you. He wipes his face. He's such a dick. Oh, man. Hey, by the way, the old man who we assume to be the owner of the Stardust, when he's being interviewed about Crystal Connors, he says, she's dazzling, she's exciting, and she's very, very sexy. And that's when I wrote problematic.
All right. Molly introduces Crystal and Nomi. We find out that Nomi dances at the Cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal says she doesn't know what she's good at, but if it's at the Cheetah, it's not dancing. To which Nomi says that you don't know shit, and she storms out of there. She storms out of a lot of places.
Temper is what I wrote.
Yeah. Temper, right.
Zach, I think Nomi might be hot-blooded.
They got a song about that. Molly runs after her. Nomi is really overreacting here, I wrote. She's too upset to go to work. Molly decides to take her to a club.
We should say right now, Molly is so unbelievably nice to Nomi.
Yes.
Crazy nice.
Yes. For no reason.
It's completely out of control. She gives her a place to live. She drives her around everywhere. She's always helping her out.
She's always trying to calm her down.
Reminding her she got to go to work.
Right.
Like, hey, your boss going to fire you. Remember he said da-da-da. Like, she's constantly a positive influence. And, you know, it's somewhat palatable until you remember what you guys mentioned in the opening scene, which is the way they met was she was beating on her car and then took a swing at her.
Molly's a victim.
Oh, foreshadowing.
I mean, well, yeah. So I wrote, she's the least stable person I've ever seen in any movie. But then I wrote, but she's dancing her ass off in this club.
I thought that dancing was terrible.
Like an inflatable arm flailing two man.
So they go to the club, right? And I said, wow, Vegas clubs, because I don't know. This is the weird thing. I don't know if that's what Vegas clubs look like in the 90s or they just didn't know what a Vegas club looked like. And so they said, it's just a club.
Well, I mean, it should be noted that only the scene where she played the slots and the scene where they go to buy an outfit are the only scenes shot in Vegas.
Makes sense.
That's when we're introduced to James Smith, who's played by Glenn Plummer.
One more thing. I put in, she's dancing like a moron.
Yeah, she dances like a real fuckhead.
Like an absolute moron.
Yeah, like a real fuckhead. James goes over to dance with her while he's working at the club. He's a bouncer. They dance together, but he says that she's not any good.
Well, before that happens,
first he James, says she's good.
James and his coworker see her. James is like, damn. And his coworker's like, oh, she can dance. And James laughs and says, ha, 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 she thinks she can. And I was like, yeah, finally. Wow. I was like, what a very self-aware piece of writing by a white guy. Like, that the black guy would look at this woman who's clearly dancing like a moron and say, she can't fucking dance. Like, this is terrible, right? So he says, I'm going to go dance with her. And his coworker says, yeah, we're on the clock. He says, I don't care. Right. He goes over.
No one cares about job security in this movie.
No, they really don't. And he starts dancing with her, and I say, holy shit, he can't dance either.
Well, this is what the note I wrote. He dances like I do when I'm drunk.
Is that how you dance?
Yeah, pretty much. It's not far from it, I mean.
That's incredibly self-aware.
Completely honest here. And then I wrote, the 90s were different. he says that she's not dancing, but she's teasing his dick and that he can teach her to dance. She knees him in the dick. He bumps into a guy. The guy punches him. I wrote, she loves that she started a big brawl and she walks right through it. Then she gets thrown into jail.
Or another white person coming out of nowhere to swing on a black person.
Yeah.
By the
that
way,
I believed.
Rewatch this fight scene and just look at the people fighting in the back. It's fucking hilarious. I laughed so hard. I kept rewinding and laughing because I'd pick up on new things that were happening in the background.
She gets bailed out. We find out that James bailed her out and that he got fired. As Molly is pulling up to how Molly knew when she was getting, like, Molly's just sitting outside that jail for how long?
She's a good friend.
Yes. The best friend in the world, man.
He says that all he wants is to get a cup of coffee with her. She gets a quarter from Molly, flips it to him, and says to buy himself one. And I wrote, that's 1/6 of a huge strawberry shortcake.
Also, throughout that whole scene where he's trying to, like, yo, can I at least talk to you? Can I do this? Can I do that? He keeps mentioning the pain in his dick.
Yes.
You're a pain in my ass and a pain in my dick. And, like, he keeps, like, I'm not talking about once or two. I'm like, maybe three or four times.
Easily three or four times.
Like, the pain in his dick. Like, he has to let her know that she's a pain. Not only, like, in the head, in the neck, in the back, in the dick also.
And then I wrote, where did she get a ring pop?
Yeah, and ring pop.
Oh, man, ring pop.
90s.
Yeah. Product placement.
Love it. At the strip club, we meet Al Torres, who intros all the dancers to this new girl, Penny. And that's when I made the connection. Oh, my God, that must be Penny from Showgirls 2. Pennies from Heaven.
Wow. That's what the spinoff was about.
Yes.
Wow. I like it. Now I want to watch it.
Sure. Maybe future episode. Al Torres is telling Penny the tricks of lap dance, what's allowed, that she can touch them, they can't touch her. Then he says if she wants to last more than a week, she's got to give him a blowjob.
Give me a blowjob. Yeah.
He says, first I get you used to the money, then I make you swallow. And I said, this feels like a villain giving away his evil plan to James Bond.
But also, this is clearly not James Bond. This woman, Penny's the biggest fucking moron ever.
Yeah, she's a real rube.
One of these strippers is a rather rotund woman.
Yes.
Who has, like, a gimmick where she pulls those lever and her top comes down and her tits come out. Yeah. And it makes a sound effect. And I said, how does that sound effect happen? So then I was thinking to myself, you know, because you go to a strip club, there's always, like, this one – not your traditional version of attractive in the club, because guess what? There's someone for everybody, right? So I thought maybe she's just one of those. But then I realized, no, her bit is to go out, do this on stage, and do, like, kind of like a like a 1940s, 1950s just punchline comic.
Yeah, it's just like kind of like Don Rickles, right?
Yeah, take my wife, please. Oh, right. Like, and she shows her tits and the sound effect happens. And then I put in my notes, because this isn't the first movie I've seen this. Have you ever been to a comedy show at a strip club, either of you two?
No. But I've only been to a strip club a couple of times. Like, I'm not a strip club guy.
You've only been to a strip club a couple of times in your life?
I would say no more than five.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, okay. What about you, Maze?
Well, I've been to a burlesque show. I went and saw Dita Von Teese, and she had a warm-up comedian.
All right, but like Cheetah's is clearly not a burlesque show. That's,
no.
That's a strip club, like champagne room, everything. All right, so sidebar. I lived in Atlanta when I was originally going to college before I transferred. And part of living in Atlanta is like it's just part of the culture. You go to strip clubs, right? And it didn't help that I was neighbors in my dorm apartment building with like guys from the football team. And so like all we ever did was just go to strip clubs, and we went to the strip clubs so many. And it's like, if you've ever listened to any Atlanta song from like the mid 90s to the like mid 2000s, every single one of those clubs they name. Like I think it's Whistle While You Twerk was the one I remember when they're naming it at first, like, I've been there. And I was like, shit, I've been there too. Like, oh, fuck, I've been to all these places. And not like once or twice, like plenty of times. It was like different days of the week. Like, oh, we're going to Nikki's tonight. No, we're going to Gentleman's Club, whatever. And so there was a point where we had gone to strip clubs so often that it was literally like shit would happen. Like, yo, man, are you hungry? Yeah, man, I'm really in the mood for wings. Want to go to Magic City? And we literally would go to Magic City for the wings, because the wings were phenomenal. There. They had one of the best kitchens. The food, that the fries were super seasoned, and the strippers started knowing who we were and like saying hi when we came in. And it wasn't even like, I'm not even saying this on some, yeah, we were banging on. It wasn't even that. It was just like, hey, what's going on, Chris?
You were just very familiar faces.
Because we were just there all the time, but we were there literally just to eat and like, well, like maybe throw like $5 in singles. Some bitches. And if you're like, man, you know what? I think I'm going to lap dance, right? Because like the middays of the week at Magic City were cheaper than like weekends. Or we'd never go on a weekend. That was just preposterous, right? So then one of my many like early jobs, I worked for a record label, right? And my job was back in the day. Sorry, so younger listeners, you won't know this, but back in the day, if you had a new song, you couldn't like – the DJs couldn't just download it. The label had to physically get the vinyl at this time, because DJs were still DJing, to the DJs, right? And so my job was I was the vinyl delivery. So I had a backpack and a bunch of vinyl in my backpack, and I would literally go to all these clubs. And in Atlanta, and you'd be surprised, I guess you wouldn't be surprised when you listen to the content of many of these songs that become hits. But many of the hits that you know and love start as strip club anthems.
Yeah,
start because someone hands them to the strip club DJ. He gives it a play. The girls say they like it. They like dancing to it. And so they play it a lot. And then people who are going to strip clubs like, what is this? Oh, it's the new this and that. And then that's how they fucking blow up and become mainstream hits, right? And so my job was to deliver these vinyl to the strip club DJ. So there was a point in my young career. This is before I worked in sports. This is how far back this was. This is when I bandied about the idea of working in the music industry. Seven nights a week, I was going to strip clubs.
Seven nights a week.
Deliver the record, have a drink, whatever, and then, all right, guys, got to go to the next place. And then just keep doing that.
That's a lot of jacking off, I mean.
There was some regular clubs, too. It mixed in there, but a lot of them were strip clubs.
Huh. So 7 nights a week.
I've never seen a comedian, but then I also know that I wasn't going to white strip clubs. That's the other.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I've only been a few times, but I've definitely never saw comedy there.
I've been to a couple white strip clubs, mostly in Phoenix, and gotta say, it's very disappointing. It's disappointing. I'm telling you, you know what it is? First of all, in black strip clubs, when, you know, now calling champagne to the stage, champagne. When champagne comes up there, she's doing 3 to 5 songs.
Yeah.
She's picked her music and they're going to play these songs, right? In the white strip clubs in Phoenix, the girls do one song and they're off. I'm like, well, what was the point of that? And the DJ doesn't have any feel for flow or anything. It's just like, pour some sugar on me.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like, get low, get low, get low. And then it's like, I tie my boots one at a time, gotta go now. I'm like, this, how is anyone supposed to be in any sort of rhythm to any of this? Yes, I've been to a lot of strip clubs, sorry.
All right.
Strip club snob, Amin El Hassan.
Not anymore, though. I don't like it anymore.
Crystal shows up with Zach to the Cheetah. They're coked out of their minds. There's a big stripper doing comedy, like you mentioned.
Mama,
yeah. Right.
Mama's got the line, you know what they call that useless piece of skin around a twat? A woman.
Oh, I mean, I laugh, but
Mama got as many laughs out of Amin as the entirety of Hot Rod.
Yes, pretty much. Absolutely. But also, Nomi's not only dancing terribly, she's making these noises.
Yeah.
And all I said is like, I mean, I know the people who made this movie have been in a strip club before. No stripper makes noises. It's just not, that's not sexy at all. And then Hope is dancing. Oh, Penny, Hope.
Penny, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wrote, this is like, for someone who had to be explained the concept of a strip club.
She picked it up fast.
She picked it up fast as fuck. She out there fucking getting it on people.
Yeah.
I've seen strippers who are in their first week, man. They're a lot shyer than that.
We get the infamous stripper pole lick by Nomi, which reminded me of that Simpsons subway scene with Bart.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to disturb your pleasant ride, but unlike yourselves, I was born without taste buds. Let me demonstrate. I'm in over my head here. Thank you for your time.
Japanese businessman sees Penny completely nude and says, in America, everybody's a guy. Gynecologists, they all laugh.
Yes, that was a good joke.
That's a pretty good line.
If I was out to a business like dinner with a client and he drops that line, I don't know about you guys. I'm laughing heartily. I got it. Mr. Fujikawa.
Like, oh, because her vagina's out. That's why. I get it.
By the way, my man from the Goonies, he's wearing this leopard print vest.
Oh my God.
I said, where can you find that leopard print vest? Next year is the 25th anniversary of Showgirls, and I want to rock that for Halloween.
That's a real deep cut.
I know.
That's a real deep cut. Crystal.
Also some dude says to a girl, can I suck your tits? There's a lot of like questions that happen in this movie that I'm like, I don't think anyone ever does that.
Right.
No one ever says, can I suck your tits? And then she says to him, it's touch and go. I can touch you, but you can't touch me. And he says, I know where you can touch me.
And then she walks away.
She's so offended by that. But yeah. It's just like, you're a fucking stripper.
Crystal kisses at Nomi while she's on stage. She storms off the stage, always storming out of places, flailing wildly.
Hot-blooded!
James has showed up while Nomi makes the rounds for lap dances. Crystal wants a 3-way private dance. Apparently their rules don't allow that. It's just one at a time, and no women, apparently.
That was just Nomi making shit up because she didn't want to do it, because she already hates exactly. Crystal.
Crystal offers $100.
Once they get to the champagne room, you see like, oh no, this rule is completely made up.
Yeah, right. Offers $100. No way. $200. And Crystal just watched. No. $500. Al Torres jumps in and says, done. And I wrote, that's 333 and a third huge strawberry short kicks.
I love how he disappeared out of nowhere to close the deal.
He did. He disappeared. Like, he was like a fucking ghost. Like, disappeared.
500 sold.
And I wrote the note, AC Slater must be going crazy in this scene. Oh. James walks up to the lap dance room and is just watching. And I said, this doesn't feel like it would be possible.
No.
But again, I haven't been to a whole lot of strip clubs. And
absolutely not.
He's a bouncer, Zach. So he knows the way of the bouncer.
Might be. But also, he's standing creepily right by the beaded curtain.
Right. Yeah, he's just watching. And I wrote, plot hole? Never mind. The bouncer just kicked him out of that area.
But only after he watched.
Right, only after he watched. Nomi rides Zach until he comes. Crystal pays her, and she walks out.
That's all you got for that scene?
Man, what do you want? Like, she is grinding wildly.
She's going insane. What is this move that she does, dude?
I said, is this how white people fuck? Because all I could think of was Heartbreak Kid.
I was thinking the same thing. All I was thinking was cock me.
Fuck me like a black guy, Eddie. Like, clearly she's been fucking too many white dudes with this weird writhing action.
Her signature is that helicopter shit, though.
Yes. Oh, she loves that helicopter shit. That'll come back. James is a stalker.
Hold on. This dude, Zach. Works in Las Vegas. He works around showgirls. He's banging Gina Gershon. He's banging broads left and right.
A good shit.
Dude, there's no way he could keep whispering it in the background.
Well, just because he does it doesn't mean he's good at it.
No, but at some point you get a desensitivity where you cannot come from someone just grinding on top of you.
He's coked out of his mind.
That makes it even harder.
I know. That's what I know. I'm starting to do the math on this one. It does seem maybe he's that bad. I don't know.
Maybe she's that amazing. Although what if that actually feels amazing? Because it looks terrible. What if
it actually? Well, yeah. Because all I'm picturing is like it rubbing against like the material of like a seam in your underwear or a seam in the pants, and that's got to chafe.
Like a rope burn, right?
Yeah.
Because like half the – all right, guys, we're going to get graphic here. We probably put another disclaimer at the beginning of this thing that this is a very graphic episode. But like 80% of what makes sex feel good is the lubrication, the natural lubrication, right?
Yeah.
Like so if you remove that and just keep all the wild motions and movements.
That's what makes the pool scene insane. Insane. I do like that Amin finally drew a line, though, Maze, in which so he could say the words natural lubrication. That's where he drew the line. That's where he finally like, well, maybe we need a disclaimer, guys. I'm about to say natural lubrication.
I like the wetness.
Quick note, though, the strippers were talking about smoking Thai weed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
My note is 1995 was rough.
It was a rough time for drugs. Yeah.
Thai?
So James has found Molly's trailer and he's a stalker, talks to Nomi and says, you've got more natural talent when you dance than anybody I've ever seen.
Haha.
This is the most quotatious scene ever.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen. Just listen. You got more natural talent when you dance than anybody I've ever seen. Look, I've seen a lot of dancers. I studied in New York, Alvin Ailey. You burn when you dance.
You said I couldn't.
Oh, you gotta hold some of it in. You got some shit to learn, dancing ain't fucking.
What's that, more wisdom? I know that.
No, you don't. You dance like when you fucked that guy last night.
What guy?
That guy with the chick. You took him in the back.
I didn't fuck him.
Yeah, you did. You fucked him and her.
Are you following me around? I didn't fuck anybody.
Saw you. Man, everybody got AIDS and shit. You know, what is it that you think you do? You fuck him without fucking him. That's what you do. Well, it ain't right. You got too much talent for it to be right.
Get out of here.
Bitch, I'm telling you the truth. You want me to go? I'm out of here.
I've seen a lot of dancers. I studied in New York. And I wrote, what?
Is Big Waz in this movie?
As a matter of fact, he is, apparently.
For some reason, he drops in, everybody's got AIDS now.
Yes.
What? Where did that come from?
No, wait, hold on. He said... Because he accused her of fucking him.
Oh, fucking the guy. Like, oh, that's that why guy. He's saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I didn't fuck him. What are you talking about? Yeah, yes, you did. I saw you fuck him. And I was just like, this is very aggressive from a very and very stalkerish, might I add. And so
James is everywhere in Las Vegas.
Oh, he's super stalking. And then he continues to tell her about
he needs to be at the unemployment line.
No, he doesn't, because as we see, he gets another job fairly quickly.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I think he already had that job. But still, yes.
And I just wrote, I don't understand where this is going.
You fucking him without fucking him. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Everybody has AIDS now.
Like, yeah.
Bitch, I'm telling you the truth.
Also, 95, we were kind of over the AIDS scare a little bit, right? Like, it was still scary, but it wasn't like 91, 92 where you're like, everyone has AIDS. Like, even Philadelphia was like 1993. Like, no one... It wasn't like that.
Not in Las Vegas, Zach. Not in Las Vegas.
We find out that Molly's in school, which really doesn't... It's just to show, like, she's trying to better herself or something.
Like, if you had doubts about how much of a saint this woman was.
Yeah.
Like, there's a kid, let's just make her look more saint.
Yeah, she has four more classes. She got an A. She has four more classes until they have to give her her degree, and she hasn't been late in 6 months. They're going shopping.
Nomi wants to buy a dress, even though Molly offers to make it for her. Her friend is a costume designer.
To be fair, she was like, let's go to the fabric store. Fabric store is boring as fuck, guys. I like any kind of craft store on that. I'll just spend the money.
I would overpay for a Versace dress as well.
And so then we find out that Molly is super excited about some guy named Andrew Carver coming to Vegas soon.
It took me a while to figure out that that was a made-up person.
Oh, you thought it was a real dude?
Yeah, I was like, Andrew Carver, like, because he kind of looks like Michael Bolton, but I was like...
At first I thought, Andrew W.K. was known back then? Why is he called Andrew Carver?
Yeah, that's someone else that I thought about.
Yeah, so one of the guys from the Stardust is at the strip club wearing sunglasses with a shirt tucked in, says to try out for the chorus line, and then we get more, like, one-liners from the heavy stripper. To which I wrote, is the heavy stripper basically the talking DNA from Jurassic Park? That's the vibe I'm getting, and I don't know why. But it just felt like kind of a narrator fourth wall thing that was just there just to like kind of lighten the mood for some reason.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like at some point, the writers actually have to write something. Other than sex scenes and shit like that. Like, yeah. Her dialogue was very well written, I might say. Also, I don't know if she was like on her side or not. Like there are times where she's like, backing her up, and there are times where she's like kind of a goonie.
Yeah, she's kind of like Fratelli. The voice of reason, right?
Sometimes she's the voice of reason, sometimes she's like backing up the Fratelli, right? Like she's
right,
like,
yeah.
Like about like the whole hey, you'll be back. They all come back, or some shit like that. Or which I guess is coming up in the next.
Yeah. Next so now we're at the tryout. Some guy named Tony Moss is cutting women left and right for
Tony Moss.
Tony Moss.
By the way, I worked with a guy at CBS named Tony Moss. Different people.
Tony Moss has some absolute gems.
Okay, ladies, I'm Tony Moss. I produce this show. Some of you probably heard that I'm a prick. I am a prick. I got one interest here, and that's the show. I don't care whether you live or die. I want to see you dance, and I want to see you smile. I can't use you if you can't smile. I can't use you if you can't show. I can't use you if you can't sell. Let me take a look at you. Spread out. Spread out. Jesus Christ. Marty, take a look at these tits. What are these, watermelons? This is a stage, babe. It's not a patch. See ya. I've seen you before.
Yes, Mr. Moss, I auditioned for you in January. You told me to get my nose fixed.
Nose looks good.
Thank you, Mr. Moss.
Nice smile, too.
Thank you, Mr. Moss.
You know what, though? Your ears are sticking out. They are. Come back and see me when you get them fixed. See ya. Can you spell MGM backwards? I bet you can't.
MGM.
I'm impressed. Come back when you fuck some of this baby fat off. See ya. I hope you got some nice wigs, tennis ball.
I do.
What kind of classes have you had?
Ice skating classes, Mr. Moss. Ballet classes, technique classes, stretch classes, jazz technique classes.
This show is called Goddess. It ain't called classes. See ya. What kind of classes have you had?
I haven't had classes.
Then what are you doing here?
I'm watching you be a prick.
Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Gay, run him through the routine.
Whoever's left after these initial cuts, he's ready to see them do the routine, right, before he makes more cuts. So he says, Gay, take them. And I swear to God, I was like, oh, my God, is his assistant, who is the dude from Curb Your Enthusiasm who Larry calls a cunt, is he actually gay? Is his name Gay? Like, that might be the most on-the-money, like, naming ever. Turns out he's not.
No.
The show choreographer, who's a woman, is named Gay, which I thought to myself, think about how in the writer's room someone said, why don't we just call her Gail? Like, no.
No,
she's got to be gay because people are going to want to know if the gay dude is named Gay, and then they're going to love it when they find out that he's not.
So then we get to a point where it's just the three of them left. Nomi is there. Crystal's watching the tryouts. She makes it to the final two, but Tony Moss is pissed that her nipples aren't erect. tells her to put some ice on them. Wait. She hits the ice out of his hand.
She got a temper, you guys.
He doesn't just tell her her nipples aren't erect. He says, he stops everything. He walks up to her and says, why aren't your nipples erect? She says, what? And he says, I'm erect. Why aren't you erect? Tony Moss, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I'm not even sure that he's heterosexual. That's my favorite part about all this.
If you asked if this movie could be made today, what is wrong with you?
I can't decide who stole the movie, Tony Moss or James.
Whoever stole it can keep it. I'll tell you that. So she hits the ice out of his hand, storms off. Crystal tracks her down. We find out that Crystal got her the audition. James gets fired over talking to her. He's like a valet or something. Oh, he's a concierge.
Bellhop. He's the bellhop. Right? Yeah.
And he just starts talking to the guy's like, hey, get back to work. He's like, you can have the jacket, and like walks away. Right.
Yeah, the real boss.
And then I wrote, he does a lot of grabbing women by the arm and forcing them to walk with him. Yeah. He's very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
But it's okay. Zach, she likes him now.
Yeah, I guess. Yes, he does. I wrote, holy shit, this is the worst green screen driving I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
When they're driving down the alley.
A lot of the driving was really bad.
Yeah. They go to his place so he can show her a dance he wrote about her. And then I wrote, do you write dances?
I wrote this number for you.
But wouldn't the number?
You just do it.
Yeah, I don't
also know. She already knows it when they start doing it.
Right, she starts mimicking it like two steps in.
She's gifted, man. He told her.
I guess that's the natural talent.
Yeah, very Star Wars-esque, right? Like the idea, like you just have the Force. You're very
right.
Look, you know what? Force Awakens. You ripped off Showgirls. That's what Rey is. A lot of raw talent.
Star Girls.
She starts giving him a lap dance. I wrote, he wrote this. They start making out. He goes to finger her. She says she's on her period. He says, yeah, right. Yeah, she says to check.
Go ahead and check. And then he checks.
He checks.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, right there is a determined man right there. When a woman says, I'm on my period, and you're like, yeah, right. And she says, go ahead and check. Like, the idea that you're like, I am so incredulous. Well, here's my question. What if she wasn't on her period? What if he pulled his fingers back and found it was, like, all clear? What then?
Literally.
Are you going to force the fuck out of her?
Yeah, that's a great question.
If she's telling you, you know what, at that point, y'all not having sex, whether she wants it or not. Y'all not having sex.
I wrote... all right, so you know how we've talked about this before with, like, I bet that costume is why they made this entire movie, or I bet that dialogue. I wrote, Amin, I believe this moment is what the entire movie was written around. It's just that moment.
And then
I wrote, I think we owe Skip Woods an apology. he says he's got towels. And
yes!
And she says, he's still like, he's like, no, we fucking, like... It's going to happen. She says he can fuck her when he loves her. And then I wrote, he still hasn't washed his hands. He says she's hiding from herself. Then I wrote, he now has to wash his hands and the doorway he just put them on.
Yeah. Also, she talks with her hands a lot.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's always flailing. Yeah. She quits the cheetah. Al says she can't come back and then yells,
I'm not
even if you give me a fucking blowjob.
Yeah, who talks like that?
Yeah, and I wrote, Amin, is this his only goal in life?
He talks about blowjobs like someone who's never got one.
Right,
like
exactly.
Someone who's never got one.
Yeah, like the 40-year-old virgin, like talking about a bag of sand, right? Like,
why wouldn't the line be, I'm not hiring, like, not even if you suck my dick, bitch. Like, that sounds more natural and more forceful. Not even if you give me a fucking blowjob like that. By the way, for him to say that indicates that this is the highest, like, form of repayment ever. Right. She could ever, I'm not hell or high water, not even if I get a blowjob.
No, so she's quit. She's now part of the show. She goes back to James' place.
Yeah.
She got the show of the goddess. He's mad that she won't do the number he wrote instead. But also, Penny's there.
James! Like, it was so odd. First of all, she bangs on his door like the police.
Yeah.
Which after a while, like after a couple of knocks, I mean, don't you just assume he's not home?
Right.
But she's like persistent. And so he opens the door. And the way you open it, and he was half naked. And he kind of like closed the door.
Yeah, he's in a towel.
He's got a bitch in there. Like, I knew it. Yeah. I won't lie. Penny being the bitch. didn't see that one coming.
Shocked but, you.
Yeah, I was shocked. But the way she says, James, and like obviously Elizabeth Berkley gets really upset. Naomi gets really upset, storms off.
But didn't have a right. She's the one that denied him. I don't get why she was so upset.
How does James have enough time to fully stock multiple strippers all over Las Vegas?
Well, he doesn't have a fucking job. No. Yeah, well, I mean, he's got all day.
But my favorite part is he goes back in there, and Penny says, "Who's that?" And he says, "Nobody." And then he just starts
feeling her up.
Feeling her and telling her that he wrote the number for her.
Yeah.
And like he runs the same exact game. And
he's got a routine.
And that's when I wrote, "Get it, James." And that's when everything about James said, up until that point, I was like, "Who is this creepy ass stalker motherfucker?" Now I understand the method to the madness.
Are you out of your mind?
He's out here fucking these broads left and right. He's picking Vegas strippers up, telling them he wrote a number for them, fucking them, and then kicking them out. Which, by the way, a little contradictory. If this racket is as good as it seems like at this point, then why the fuck do you have to finger check? Goddamn!
Because he will not be denied.
And then ask to fuck on towels. Like,
right? Yeah. Well, no, he does explain that later. There is a line later that explains it.
There is.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I have it.
Now we get to she's reporting for duty.
By the way, that line is part of what I wrote, one of the greatest apologies ever, and it's increased so my respect for him sevenfold. Like, this was the tipping point of like, what a disgusting character to like. I get it now.
Like you tip your cap to the egg. Well, you got you're working, buddy.
This is right when her life is about to change. But we've been on an hour right now. So is this the part where we want to say or the thrilling conclusion, or how do we want to do this? Or does it just give me?
I mean, this has to be a two-part episode, right? We have so much of this movie and so much trivia.
Like she hasn't even started dancing yet. Like,
no,
so that's what I'm saying. So is this where do we? And none of this obviously is in the show.
No, keep it all in. All right, conversation. Yeah, we'll cut it here, and make sure you download part two. Of Cinephobe's presentation of Showgirls.
This, by the way, it's going to be very hard for me to imagine at a future live, whatever our next live show is, it has to be. This is the one, right?
Oh, 100% right? this is the one we're doing.
Like you,
oh my God.
You guys saw Swordfish, you saw Next, we get what Cinephobe is. No, no.
No, this is Cinephobe.
Matter of fact, going to have to hit up Jade. And we're going to have to change the Cinephobe logo to be this Showgirls kind of silhouette thing where you see the leg all the way up. But at the top, instead of her face, we're going to put James's face.
So download part two. How about that?